The title of today's message is No Excuses. No Excuses. A loose working definition of an excuse is this: it is an intent to avoid or remove blame. An intent to avoid or remove blame. I think just like myself and just like many of you, as we get older, right, especially when you have kids, you begin to hear these excuses. Excuses for everything. And there's one thing that I can say that I really dislike is a excuse. I don't necessarily like when people come to me when something's gone wrong or they have a problem that arises. And I often tell people this: you don't come to me with a problem and an excuse. You come to me with the problem, a solution, and the truth. Come to me with a problem, the solution, and truth. When you do it in that order, it makes whatever we're about to encounter so much easier to deal with when issues arise. It is so much easier when we just start it off like that. And whenever someone talks about excuses and their lack of ability to believe in God, it is often but not all the time accompanied with what? An excuse. Some type, some manner, somehow, some type of an excuse. What I would like to mention at least today is this: that often we take those excuses in our life and we turn them into what? We turn them into idols. We focus more on the excuse than what we do on the Creator. The idol often gets more attention in our life, and then why we can't do something or why we did something, and we place that over our faith in Christ, who ultimately overcomes any and all excuses that we may have. None of them will stand the test. With that, I would like to read Romans 1:20 one more time for you. And it says again, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, both his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood, that what has been made, so that they are without excuse." The question here is, what are they without excuse from? Paul wrote the book of Romans to believing Jews and Gentiles with the purpose of this: to give them a driving force to teach gospel truth of grace to believers who never received or been exposed to apostolic instruction. In chapters 1, verse 18, well into chapter 3, Paul is noting their condemnation, followed by, and I took this as a subheading, the need of God's righteousness. The need of God's righteousness. Specifically, for today, is what I would like to look at, is we're going to look at this short passage, which Paul aims to those considered the unrighteous Gentiles. He explicitly goes to nature. He goes to creation to paint his overall picture here when explaining not only God as the creator, but how we can see his invisible attributes made visible and how we can come to an overall knowledge of him and his attributes. Romans 1:20 starts with, "For since creation of the world." For since creation of the world, Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." God what? Created. He did not build upon something that was already there. He did not make something that was already there better. He built upon something that he created. There was nothing, and God created the foundation of the what? The world. How did he do this? Scripture is very clear on this. Staying in Genesis, it starts with God what? Said. God said, just from his eternal, everlasting power, God spoke everything that we see into existence. All of creation. First day, day one, God created light, separating it from darkness. He called the light day, and the darkness he calls night. It's Genesis 1:3-5, and he ends it with it is good. Second day, God created the sky, separating the waters above the waters from below. Genesis 1, 6 through 8. And it was what? Good. On the third day, God gathered the waters to reveal dry land, which he called earth, and gathered waters, seas. He also created vegetation, including seed-bearing plants and trees. Genesis 1, 9 through 13. And it was what? Good. Day 4, God created the sun, the moon, and the stars to provide the light to the earth and to mark seasons, days, and years. Genesis 1, 14 through 19. And it was what? Good. Day 5, God created sea creatures and birds, commanding them to be fruitful and multiply. Genesis 1, 20 through 23. And it was good. On the sixth day, God created the land animals and humanity. He made humans in his own image, giving them dominion over the earth and all living things. Genesis 1, 24 through 31. And it was good. See, it needs to be mentioned here that God's creation at one point was a perfect reflection of our perfect God. It was good. Well, we see as time goes on and as it has gone on that that perfect creation has become what? Corrupted. Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Everything, ladies and gentlemen, we see, everything we see cries out to the glory of God. David wrote this so that we can understand and understand God's wisdom, power, and most importantly, his presence to all people and everything we see. Psalm 104, 24 through 25, it states, "How many are your works, Lord? In wisdom, you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number. Living things, both large and small, beyond number." There's things that we still don't even know about, but guess what? Who does? God. Our dependence is on God, and he made them all. And when we go out and we see his beautiful creation and those, the people such as us that are created in the image of God, we see his wisdom everywhere. And when we see this, his invisible attributes, both his eternal power and his divine nature through this have been clearly seen. The two attributes that we're going to focus on today is this, his eternal power and his divine nature. His eternal power. There's a phenomenal site. It's called Got Questions, and I just want to pull a quote from them. It says, "All men see and understand the aspect of God's nature by the witness of the various aspects of the created order. The sun and heavenly bodies continue in their orbits century after century. The seasons come and go in their appointed time. The trees produce leaves in spring and drop them in the fall. Year after year, these things continue, and no one can stop them or alter God's plan." No one can stop them or alter God's plan. That sounds familiar, right? Those things we see going on in the world today. "All of this attests to God's eternal power and plan for the earth. One day he will create a new heaven and a new earth, and like they, like him, he will continue into eternity. Just like we just sang in the song, 'Behold our God, he held the oceans in his hands and he numbered every grain of sand.'" Ladies and gentlemen, there is not one tree, there is not a leaf that falls from a tree that God has not intended it for it to happen. Everything that goes on around us is done in a perfect manner of God's created order. And that's what we need to see when we look out. Everything, anything, and everything is held together by his perfect will. Malachi 3, 6 through 7. There is no beginning and no end to his eternal power. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers you have turned aside my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you. Men, women, people have turned away from God's created order in disobedience. But what we see here is that as there's an invitation for return and restoration, the scriptures are clear. In Psalm 90, verse 2, it says, before the mountains were born, you, meaning God, gave birth to the earth, and the word, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. We can see before anything else, God is and will be. Us, are a passing moment in this creation. We are a small, itty-bitty fraction of it. But his eternal power is forever. And that's what eternal means. It means forever. Isaiah 40, 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is everlasting. God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. His understanding no one can fathom. Everything that we see, everything that we know of our world is eternally created and held together by God's power and once again, his will. There is nothing that can separate God from what he has created for us to have a basic understanding of who he is and his eternal power. His divine nature being that God himself was not created, right? He, God, is the creator. His creation, and that includes us, as we were created in the image of God, the Creator. And the one thing we see the most today is that the image of God, the people that were created in the image of God, is under attack more than anything else, because at this point, you can decide to be whatever you want to be. And Paul is saying something very important here next. He's writing this, that these things are clearly seen. Ladies and gentlemen, it's obvious. It's obvious. But Paul is letting us know that what is invisible, meaning his attributes, have now become visible. The invisible qualities of God are visible to us. We can see and understand our omniscient, omnipresent, and perfect loving God in his created order. We can see these things and know to come and know him. Paul continues, he says, but being understood through what has been made so that they are without excuse. Without excuse. Paul is making it very clear here that there is and will be no excuse accepted at any point ever. More importantly, excuses in the end will not be accepted. Well, I tried my best. I just couldn't do it. I did this, I did that, I did. No, there's no excuses. Well, I'm sorry I did this. I'm sorry I put this idol in my life before you. I'm sorry I worshiped this thing. No, there's no excuse. And when we see this, I hope we know that who created everything, but through this, we can also come to know at this end of this is who our creator is. Continuing into the next verse, I think this is important because we see in Paul's writing that he's writing to people who did just the opposite. They began worshiping false gods, false idols, giving glory to images and idols, and even with that, it allows false teaching to come in. They're corrupting what was perfect and bringing in these idolatrous idols into their lives and worshiping them over the Creator. But as followers of Christ, we know the truth. And it is a responsibility on our part to not only know the truth, but to teach and pursue the truth. There is more than enough evidence of God's existence and his creation, and therefore, when you walk out of here and you look around, that there is no excuse not to know and understand those two very important attributes. His eternal power that holds everything together, his divine nature, the qualities of him. There is no excuse. Romans 1:21, it says, for even though they knew God, they did not what? Honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible men. And the birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures, they placed the creation above the creator. They replaced God with their own forms of idols in representation. In representation, who the creator is. They changed the glory of God through their own carnal reason and created a fictitious God or other representation to what they wanted to believe. Paul's making it known right here that this is a very strong and slippery slope that he is directly calling them out for. And we ultimately see they were turned over to depraved minds. An example of this is when we knowingly choose to remove the glory of God and the reality about God for falsehoods, to worship idols and created things instead of the Creator, God gives us what our heart wishes and we fall into deeper and deeper moral decay. Folks, that is not good. That's not a good path to go down. Corruptible man was creating corruptible things and images and idols to fill in or replace what they already knew. That's the key. They already knew. And they were doing this to replace that. Just as in Genesis chapter 3, Satan tells Eve what? You will be like God. A twist of words planted a seed, and at that moment, the false God here became man. Man wanted more than what God had revealed to them. R.C. Sproul wrote this. He said, cultures everywhere attest to the presence of some kind of religious activity, confirming humankind's incurably religious nature. You see, the religious nature is idolatrous, that disrupts and distorts, but can never obliterate God's natural knowledge of himself. They take their own idols and created gods, and not only turn their backs on the knowledge of the one true God, but ascribed his creation to them. They took what God has created and ascribed it to those false gods. And what we see is those false gods that they ascribed it to, these are man-created things, right? Images, idols, and phantoms. Ladies and gentlemen, that's just pure ignorance, if I can say that up here. Warren Wiersbe writes this. He says, man knew God. This is clear. We know that from Scripture. But man did not want to know God or honor him as God. Man was not thankful to God for all of creation and refused to honor and glorify him. And we live in a time where we come to the same conclusion as to what Paul is writing. The world we're living in is constantly pulling away from the created order that God had put into place. They pull their attention to evolutionary theories, practices that try to elevate other reasons and images over the one true God. And this is not new, and Paul wrote of this many years ago, and it's just as relevant now as it was back then. if we continue on this path, will not only lead to self-destruction and what it says by giving away to depraved mind, will we be turned away to our own lust of our heart? And I'm asking and I'm saying that we do not and should not and cannot fall into the same practice of this. Worshiping other things is the same as giving them credit for what God has created. And we cannot and should not fall into that trap. We cannot fall into the trap of loving the creation more than the creator. However, one can take knowledge of God and come to a saving knowledge through faith. And this is very important. Hebrews 11:6 states that, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. See how it's coming together? Those who that diligently seek him. Our faith is what allows us and enables a relationship with God, not by what we see. Not by what we see. God, and what I've just gone through, is how he revealed himself through general revelation. But we also have what is known as special revelation. Areas throughout the Bible, right? His word. We can know and regard everything. One of the areas is this, that there is what we can know, regard, what God wants us to know, expects of us, and what he has done for us. Just as God reveals himself to Moses in Exodus, he revealed himself to the prophets of the Old Testament and so on and so on. And God wants us to know him and has revealed himself to us in the past and continues into the present through his creation and his word. When it comes to special revelation, in my opinion, the most important aspect of that is what? The revelation that came through his son, Jesus Christ. That is the most precious of it all. God's own son left his own rightful place in heaven to come to an imperfect, corruptible world. While in the midst of this imperfect, corruptible world, he did not become imperfect or corrupted himself. He lived a life ministering, serving, shepherding his flock, and it never stops there. He was betrayed. We know this. He was arrested. He was convicted of crimes he did not even commit. He was replaced for a criminal who was guilty of his crimes. And that criminal was set free. They replaced Christ for a man and turned their back on God. He was beaten. He was scourged. We do know this. He was married to carry his cross, obviously. And at the end, he was nailed to that cross. He died on that cross. But it doesn't stop there. God continued to reveal himself. You see, Christ conquered the grave and now is seated at the right hand of the Father. And guess what? That we, ladies and gentlemen, we are guilty yet freed from our guilt through our Savior and our risen Savior. And it doesn't get any more precious or special or revealed than that. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. We also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. Ladies and gentlemen, that's faith. Throughout my life, I've had the opportunity to travel. I've been blessed with doing some fascinating things. I've to see the majesty and the glory of God's created world and go all over. I've from Alaska to Florida, Brazil, a lot in between. I've had the opportunity to hike in the Rockies, the Ozarks, the Appalachians, the Grand Canyon. I've dived to the depths of our local waterways. I've dived to the depths of the Gulf that was allowed. And I have to tell you this, I love being outside in God's creation, and I love being out there and sharing that experience with others so that they may see the beauty of the world and God's created order. Here's the caveat, though. When I did all that as a young man, I was not a follower of Christ. I saw each and every one of those pieces and everything that I went through as something that just came by chance, by accident, by whatever practice or theory, whatever's put in place. I did not know. But now as a follower of Christ who knows Jesus, I can see the world in so much the difference. You can see just his created order and how it all comes together and how it's sustained. We can't do that. That's his eternal power. That's his divine nature that does that. So when we go out into the world, the question is, and this is what I want you to ask yourself, what do you see? Do you see something vast and beyond measure that just happened by chance? Because if you do, that's an idol. Do you see a world we live in that simply came by accident through organisms assumed to already be present in the universe? Because guess what? That's an idol. Or do you see what I see in that it's a world created by a creator, and that creator is the one true God Almighty? Recently, I had the opportunity to go on this phenomenal family vacation. I want to cover this real quick with you. We covered Louisiana, Mississippi, Arkansas, Nebraska, Iowa, South Dakota, Colorado, Wyoming, New Mexico, Texas, back home. That's a lot of landscape. It was 3,500 miles of driving, just highway. And I say this because this is what I want you to know, that I and my family got to see this country magnified like I've never seen it before, and that was only because through that, when I saw it, I could see the glory of God and everything that we came together. Because as we went north and we went west, the ecosystems, the biodiversity, and everything changed from place to place because it was all being done at that specific time to sustain what God had created. And we were allowed and blessed with the opportunity to go out in God's created world and see it for what it is. We went to a place called Badlands National Park. I'm sure you've all heard of it. It's gorgeous. You can't really even a picture doesn't describe it. But in Badlands, okay, the Lakota call it land bad. Land bad. And that's because of this. It's rugged, it's eroded, it varies in extreme temperatures, and there is little to no water. I can attest to that. And it is extremely difficult to navigate. All these things working together. We hiked out to this outlook, and this is part of one of them, this picture up here. And when you look at that, I stopped, and I honestly, it looked like God had took a brushstroke and painted this image. And I just wanted to sit there for two reasons. One, I wanted to sit there and just soak in of all of God's glory, all of his majesty, everything that he's created. And the second reason was I needed a break, and I did not want to say I needed a break. So I just sat there and held that in. But I wanted to take that time to sit there and just marvel in his glory, but most importantly, thank him for all the beauty and the complexity and knowing that his and him alone is holding all of this together. And at that moment, I began to wonder to myself, and I've wondered this every day since I've become a believer, and it's that this, how can anybody look at this and deny the existence of God? How can anyone look at this and not only deny the existence of God, but create things to replace him as image bearers of this? The Lakota call it land bad. They go there, or they did, I did a little research. They hold spiritual connection to the land for vision quest, ceremonies, and ancestor connection. These vision quests, they go there to seek guidance from the spiritual world. Do you see that it's even going on today just as much was back then? And that's why it's so important to be familiar with what Paul is trying to tell us. is even today, God's created order, his creation, is being put into some other practice that dishonors him. As I mentioned earlier, like I said, I have, and yes, I've done, and I've gotten the opportunity to do some awesome things. I can assure you that each one of those, when you're doing them, as anybody spend time in and outdoors, it does bring a small amount of stress to it, right? There's some discomfort, and because that's why. The world we live in is not perfect. In Genesis chapter 3, we can read of the fall, right? Sin was introduced to the world, and the ground became cursed, and it was at that moment, cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground. Since from it you were taken, for dust you are to dust and will return. When we were on this hike in Badlands, it was hot. But yet it reminded me of a once perfect world now under this curse. There was pain. There was a little bit of suffering. There was a little bit of crying, not on my part, family. And while we were there, we came across this little outcrop coming off this rock, and it just pushed out this little bit of shad, like a shade. And we all squeezed under this thing. Why? Because we were trying to find some sense of peace. We were trying to find some sense of comfort. We were getting under there just to get as much of the shade as we can because it made a difference. However, sitting there, I'm sure it was on their mind just as much as it was mine, that we are going to have to leave this comfort and go back out into that heat. And we're going to have to walk all the way back to the trailhead. And we're going to suffer the whole way back. But this, we are going from that point forward into the back of a world of suffering. We are leaving the comfort of the shade behind, and what we might be prepared for is still discomfort ahead. The temporary comfort that we had there is being left behind. We couldn't take it with us. Wanted to, couldn't. And at that moment, it made me also think of this. For those of us that know Jesus as our Savior, when we step out into an imperfect world, we can take our faith in Christ with us. We can carry that with us. Is there still going to be struggles? Is there still going to be times of distress in our lives? Absolutely. We were told that's going to happen. But as long as we hold firm in our faith and our faith in Christ, that is what carries us through. We don't replace the Creator with the creation. We don't elevate that more than above Him. So in closing, I would ask a couple of points of you. And it's number one, do you know our Creator? Point two, do you have a personal relationship with Him? Because of the entrance of sin into this world, we've outlined all these things of it, and we know that those that don't have a relationship with Christ as their Savior are eternally separated from Him. Just as God's divine nature and eternal power are forever, the eternity carries over for us. For those who don't know Christ, we'll have eternal separation from Him forever. I can't think of anything worse than that. And here's point three. If you don't, you're entering an imperfect world, poorly equipped to handle what is going to be brought your way. And the question at the end of that is, are you even equipped for it? When you leave today and you walk out the front doors, what are you going to be met with? I can tell you what we're going to be met with. We're going to be met with God's creation. We're already met with it in here. We're all images of God. When we go out and we see the trees and we see the leaves and we see the ground and the animals and we see all these things, we need to understand that that's what we see. But the question is, what do you see? Do you still see a world created by chance? Or do you see a world that was created by a loving, perfect God? Most importantly, will you give Him credit for that? And are you going to turn away to your own pursuits and submit to Him? And I want you to understand is you don't need to flee. You need to pursue him. He is everywhere and he is waiting. What is your excuse? Because in the end, there are no excuses. Let's pray. Father, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time to come up here and share this message. Father, I just pray that you continue to watch over our flock. Lord, continue to guide the shepherds here at North Shore Bible, that we can continue to do best what is to bring the most glory and honor that we can to you. Father, we lift your name high here. Lord, we use this here to teach truths. And Father, I just hope and pray that as we go out today, we can carry those truths into a world that was once created perfect, but now has been corrupted by man, that we can shine your light to others so that they can come to know you. In Jesus' name, amen.